Father, I thank you, Lord, for our gathering together today, and thank you for everyone that's here. I pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ over the room, and let everyone, O Lord, have a heart to connect with the Spirit of God to hear what the Lord is saying. I give you, Lord, the praise, and I give you, Lord, the glory. And I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding even to the simple. And let that light shine into our hearts today. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to understand the things that are freely given of us, to us of the Lord. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So this is part three of kingdom concepts and keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I want to start off by saying why it is so important, that we talk about this kingdom of heaven from time to time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, and verse 13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You will neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What does that mean? Well, these were the spiritual leaders. Well, I shouldn't say spiritual. These were the religious leaders of that time, and rather than they opening up and teaching people about their kingdom of heaven, Jesus said they shut it up. Now, they wouldn't go in themselves, and neither would they allow those that wanted to go in to go in by their creed, their doctrines, and their religious practices and teachings. They were actually contrary to the teachings of the kingdom. And they would not go in, and they wouldn't let others who would have wanted to go in because of the way they taught and mismanaged the word of God. Paul wrote about, handling the word of God with craftiness and, being deceitful in the things that pertain to God. But the kingdom of heaven, the preaching of the kingdom of heaven brings truth and should bring us understanding. And when we don't preach it, it's kind of like we shut it up against people. We won't ourselves go in. We shut it up against people that would have gone in if they understood it. So it is important for us to teach it and to teach it correctly. I have spoken severally on how Jesus began to teach about the kingdom, how John the Baptist began to teach about the kingdom, how Jesus sent his disciples to teach about the kingdom. And even at the end of, their ministry, they were still teaching about the kingdom. Let's read a few lessons here before I get into, the real message for today. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, here is what happened after Jesus' resurrection. I've alluded to this before, but I want to bring it out again. We see that he said that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and being seen of his disciples 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So we see that even after his resurrection, he was still speaking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is same as kingdom of heaven. That's the phrase that Luke used, whereas Matthew used kingdom of heaven. But, you know, why is it after his resurrection? He was still talking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why was that so uppermost in his heart? Because, well, that's what his death was supposed to bring. So bring out and give us access to that inheritance. We talked about that yesterday. How the death of the testator is what opens up the testament or the will. Well, Jesus, you might notice, when he came out of that grave and was meeting with his disciples, he wasn't even talking about his death and his resurrection, but he was talking about the things that pertain to the kingdom. And so that's why every so often, no matter what else we teach on here, we got to come back and talk about that again, because that's so relevant and so important. At the end of this book of Acts, you know, at the very last chapter, the very last verse, we read about, I mean, many of the stories about in the book of Acts from the time that Paul joined the kingdom. It was all about many of his, you know, journeys and different things, and the things that happened to him. In Acts chapter 28, you fast forward to almost the last verse, and you will see here, verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how you do it. You know, you talk about Christ, you talk about the things that pertain to Christ, but you do not leave out the teaching of the kingdom. Even at the end of, almost close to the end of all the things that Paul did, at the end, he was still preaching the kingdom of God and also teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we do it. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to go through a few things about the keys of the kingdom of God. But this time around, I want to focus on seeking and discovering those keys and the things that relate to the kingdom. You know, these things that Jesus was reported to have been speaking about, the things that pertain to the kingdom, the things that Paul was reported to have been preaching about, the things that pertain to the kingdom, the things that Jesus challenged and indicted the scribes and Pharisees for not teaching, which is the things that pertain to the kingdom. Well, let's see what those things might actually be. Now, I'm going to give us some points to remember. Jesus commanded us to seek the kingdom of God above all material needs. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24-34, Jesus was bringing out this teaching about seeking the kingdom of God above material needs. And the way that Jesus presented it, well, he started out by saying, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is, well, the principles around money. It's what mammon is. Now, well, unfortunately, many religious leaders today are trying to do both, focused on the preaching of mammon which is how to get this money, how to get more of this wealth and so on, you know, and rather than the things that pertain to the kingdom. At the individual level, Jesus warned the people and said, look, if your leaders are blind and you yourself close your eyes and be like being blind, then they will lead you and you will both fall into the ditch. He said that the blind that leads the blind, both of them will fall into the ditch. However, if your leaders are blind, in other words, they shut up the kingdom of heaven and they wouldn't go in, well, don't let them shut you out. Open your eyes wide and figure it out on your own. Otherwise, they will not go in and you will not go in, and it will be like, you know, they lead you blind, leading the blind, and you both fall in the ditch. So Jesus began to tell the people, you know, these are the things the Pharisees and the scribes will not tell you, but here's what I tell you, you know, do not take thought for your life what you shall eat. Now, these are strong lessons that the casual observer, you know, the, you know, casual quote-unquote believer, they really can't understand these principles. And if you find that you struggle with these principles, then maybe you need a closer walk with God. But these are the principles, you know, these are the keys. This is how things work in the kingdom. Now, do not take thought for your life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What, you know, your body? What shall you put on? You know, what shall you wear? I mean, all these things that we're concerned and consumed about. Jesus said, look, the life is more than the raiment. I mean, life is more than meat, isn't it? And is the body not more than raiment? I mean, God created the body. Isn't it more than the clothing you put on? You know, and he said, look, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not so much better than they? And these are the principles of the kingdom. If you understand this, well, we won't be pursuing mammon. Which of you, by taking thought, he said, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you take thought for what you're going to wear? I mean, some people are so consumed with that. The clothes you're going to wear, the latest fashion, the latest this, the latest that. The fashion of this world passeth away, we're told. You know, and look, he said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But yet, you know, in God's mind and in God, from God's perspective, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these lilies, Jesus said. So these are principles of the kingdom. You know, because they are not the way, the principles of the kingdom are not the way that we think. You know, because the things that we think about, they're not the things that God mostly cherishes or cares about. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said unto the people that, look, you justify yourself on things that are not important. The things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination unto God. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? The things you consumed about every day. Titles that we carry. I'm a prophet. I'm a pastor. I'm a this and I'm a that. I'm an apostle. All the things, you know, I'm rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing. All the things that we think, you know, and we esteem, think upon all the time, Jesus said, these things are an abomination to God. But what things are the things that are pleasing to God? Well, let's continue to listen to this. He said, I say unto you, Solomon was not even in all his glory arrayed like these lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothed, I mean, look at all the, you know, time that Jesus is taking to explain this. If God so clothed the grass of the field or the lilies of the field, you know, they're just like grass. Today they are there and tomorrow they are not. They wither away and cast into the oven. And if God can so much as array and clothe them and so forth, well, what about you then? O ye of little faith. See, so faith, when it is lacking in the proper concept of the things of God, will cause us to be consumed about things that we shouldn't be consumed about. But when you have the faith that Jesus is talking about here, well, then you realize that, you know, God has made provision for the citizens of the kingdom. Now, in this kingdom also, Jesus furthermore reminds us that you should not be taking thought. This is the second time he's saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? I mean, he said it before when we started reading this section. And he's saying it again as we're about to close out this section. Now, anytime Jesus says, verily, verily, or he repeats something in the same conversation, that tells you how important it is. He's repeating it here. Do not be consumed with what shall we eat, what shall we wear, wherewith shall we be clothed, and all these other things. You know, so look, these are all the things that the Gentiles, people that don't know God, Gentiles were classified back then as people that didn't know God. So what they seek after, you know, that your heavenly Father already knows what need you have of all these things. You know, so the principles of the kingdom is to recognize, part of that is recognize that your heavenly Father already knows the needs that you have. And he's going to take care of you, you know, because he's your heavenly Father. But here is the summary or the capstone of it all. But seek ye first. See the kingdom of God. Seek means you're searching to discover. That's what we're doing in these lessons. You must search to discover. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not like the kingdom of God is lost, but it's like, it's because the kingdom of God is hidden, you know, and revealed only to some. It's hidden from the wise. It's hidden from the prudent, but revealed to some. And you better be among those that are searching. According to Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. Well, are we kings then? Well, if we're supposed to search it out. Well, yeah. The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5, we're told that God has made us kings and priests unto our God. Hallelujah. So Christ made us priests. And he also made us kings. Now, if we are therefore priests and kings, well, let's read how he called us that and why he called us that as well. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits, chapter 4, his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, is the chosen one. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and listen to this, in verse 6 of Revelation 1, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see that God has made us kings. Well, if we are kings, therefore, Bible says it is for kings to search out the things that God has hidden. You know, praise the Lord. Also in Revelation, you turn to Revelation chapter 5, you see where after that, Christ was the only one found worthy to open the book and nobody else could find it. Well, I mean, could open it. He said, well, they all sang a new song around the throne saying, this is verses 9 and 10, thou art worthy to take the book and to lose, open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. That's right. And we shall reign on the earth, not in heaven. You reign on the earth, ladies and gentlemen. You know, are now reigning in heaven. God reigns in heaven. We reign on the earth. Now, so we need to understand that. Praise the Lord. Now, going back to the lessons of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is his culture, how things operate in the kingdom. These are things that we must seek to understand. Now, Jesus, in the same lesson, warned against serving mammon, which is the spirit behind the pursuit of riches and the negative influence of material wealth. You know, so the pursuit of riches, negative influence of material wealth, and the negative influence of accolades and different titles. Seeking means that we are searching for something that is not readily available or not readily visible and not presently known. Seeking, you know. So, I mean, if you have it right in front of you, why are you still seeking for it? You know, so it means it's hidden, not presently known or not readily available, but you must seek for it. You know, and what Jesus was promising to those that put forth this pursuit, you know, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, you know, what is it that Jesus promises to them? Well, he said, all these material things shall be added to you, but you got to do things in the right order. What you should be pursuing should be the things about the kingdom. You know, rather than pursuing my next job, my next car, my next outfit, my next this, my next that. I mean, the things that the world is seeking after, Jesus said, that's not the culture of the kingdom. You know, you should, the things that should excite you, you know, should not be these things. These things don't excite God. In fact, some of them are an abomination to God. The things that should excite you are the things of the kingdom, the things that are couched inside the mind of God. You know, that, you know, we need to go and search it out. Let the Holy Spirit pull them out for you. You know, I say, wow, can we do that? Well, yeah, that's what Jesus said we should be doing. You know, and we are told that the Lord God is a rewarder of those that seek him like that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, you know, when you're coming to God, you must believe, you know, that God exists. You can't question his existence or doubt it. You have to believe it. And when you believe it and you seek him diligently, looking for those treasures that may be hidden. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. You know, God is going to show you things. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says that we should seek the Lord with all our heart. That's when we are going to find him. You know, if we are just a casual seeker or just casual listener, I should say, you know, you probably going to only get a glance. You know, it's like, you know, looking for rare metals and precious jewels. You won't find them laying on the street. The stones that you see on the ground in plain view, they're not precious stones. They're just stones. You know, for you to find those precious stones, you're going to have to do a lot of exploration, a lot of digging, sometimes dynamiting and different things before they can find anything. That's a lot of effort, sometimes months, years. You know, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That means those who diligently seek him. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. That's Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. And I will turn away your captivity. Praise the Lord. But we have to seek the Lord with all our heart. You know, David also instructed his son Solomon to seek the Lord with a perfect heart. If I prayed for him like that, and he instructed him to do the same. First Chronicles chapter 28. Let's read a couple of verses from there. First Chronicles 28. And this is David talking and praying, you know, and to his son and encouraging him and telling him what he needs to do, instructing him, giving him instruction about how to serve God and so on and so forth. So let's read a couple of verses from there. This, you know, this chapter is tagged as David's last words that he began to speak, you know, to his son. You know, he said, look, I charge you. God has promised that he will establish your kingdom. You know, I charge you now in the sight of all Israel, you know, that you should keep and seek, see, for all the commandments of the Lord your God. commandment keepers. You know, one day I will dig more into that. You know, when Jesus said, he that keepeth my commandment. We'll talk more about that someday. But David was talking about, you know, keepers of the commandments. He said, keep the commandment of God. Don't let them slip from your mind. You know, hold on fast to them. That's what keeping means. You know, and that, you know, you will possess this good land. God will leave it for an inheritance for you. And you, Solomon, my son, he talked to everybody and then specifically to his son. Well, know that the God of thy father, you know, and you need to know him and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. So thou must know the Lord, even the God of thy father. And this is what real fathers must do. Teach your children like God said of Abraham, I know him. Command his household after me. Well, a real father will teach his children the fear of the Lord. And say, look, you need to know the Lord thy God. He's the God of your father. And let him become your God as well. Serve him with a perfect heart. And with a willing heart. You know. Because the Lord searches the hearts, you know. He understands the imaginations of the thoughts. Now, if thou seek him, he's going to tell him now. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, well, he will cast thee off. Now, so take heed, he told him, you know, the charge that he had to build the sanctuary. Encouraged him. Because David also made a lot of provision for it. You know, but he commanded him to seek the Lord with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. You know, don't think of the Lord's commandments as grievous. Do it willingly, told him. And seek him so that you can be found of him. You know, I mean, so that he will be found of you. You find him when you seek him. Jeremiah said the same thing. Now, talking about seeking the kingdom, you know, What is the value that we place on seeking and finding things that pertain to the kingdom of God? What value? That's the question for us today. Is it important for you to spend, time in discovery and in seeking and in listening to, you know, teachings such as this? I encourage you to seek the things of the Lord even more. There are things called the showbread, which is, you know, even for the priest, among the priests, there's the showbread. And then there is the hidden manna. Showbread is out in open view. Hidden manna is tucked away. You can't even get to it. Well, you got to figure out what's tucked away. You know, there should nothing be tucked away that we shouldn't seek after. Kings are to search out the matter, even matters that God has closed up. You know, Proverbs 25:2 says, when God closes up a thing for his own pleasure, well, he wants people to seek. God likes to play hide and seek. Thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. He loves to play that hide and seek. Well, you got to search it out. Praise God. One man, one time, you know, many, many thousands of years ago, you know, as his great-grandfather, what meaneth these cherubims here with these flaming sword? You know, I mean, what are they protecting? Well, that was Enoch. Adam said, well, son, they are protecting the way of the tree of life. We cannot get in there because God drove us out. Why did he drive? You know how kids ask questions? They ask one question, you tell them something, they ask you another question. Why? So, well, why did God drive you out? You know? It started by this. He saw those flaming swords. What is this thing? You know, what are they doing? And, well, they're trying to prevent us from getting in there. But why? And so Adam would tell him one thing. He said, but why? And ask another why. They tell him another. They said, but why? And let's keep asking why. And so finally Adam said, look, well, you know, the Lord did tell us, you know, commanded us, the Lord our God commanded us to not do something. Unfortunately, we did it, and he gave us a warning that when we do it, we're going to die. So he kicked us out of, you know, the tree of life that could have given us life forever. He said, but the young man said, you are not dead yet. If he said you are going to die, how come you are not dead yet? He said, well, we don't know, but we're waiting to die because he said we're going to die. He said, oh, so you're just going to wait around to die? I mean, did you ever try to get back in there? I said, well, no, we can't. It's closed, son. You can't go in there. Young man said, well, we'll see about that. Praise the Lord. You know, that's how this man determined that he's going to figure out what's in that tree of life. I'm going to figure it out. If I can't go in there, I'm going to figure it out one way or another. I'm going to find out what the tree of life could have given us that we can't get to now. So everybody else didn't want to find it out. Everybody else assumed they're going to wait around and die. This young man said, I'm going to figure it out. And he did figure it out. Till this day, he's not dead. He figured out how to get to that tree of life. Ladies and gentlemen, Enoch is still alive. Because he chose within himself that he's going to go deeper than those that say, we're not going in and you can't go in. That's what Adam was saying. Just like the scribes and Pharisees. Well, we can't go in and you cannot go in. But the Lord said you can't go in. Those cherubims are there. I said, well, if I can't go in, I'm going to figure out a way around it somehow. And whatever is in there is going to come out to me if I can't go in there. I mean, this young man was determined. And he began to pursue God. Well, God loves that kind of thing. You know, when you start to pursue God, he will start to show you things. Things that you don't know. That's what he said, you know. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 said, call unto me, pursue after me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. And when Enoch began to pursue God, well, God began to show him things that he didn't even know. He got to see, you know, the glory of the Christ. He didn't know anything about Christ. Began to see that Christ will come with 10,000 of his saints. Jude wrote about it. How did Enoch know those things? Well, those things come when you seek the Lord. When you pursue after God, he will show you things. But if you are just a casual listener, casual things is all you will get. You know, so what is the value that you place on seeking the things that pertain to the kingdom? You know, that's the question for us today. Praise the Lord. Well, in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 15, here is a revelation of an attribute of God. He wants to be sought after. He said, thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. Why is he hiding himself? You know, why not put himself in plain view? Well, so that some will seek after and you'll be rewarded. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after the things that pertain to him, his righteousness and his kingdom. You know, so that's what we're doing in these lessons. There's a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. You know, he said the kingdom, you know, I'm still talking on this subject of seeking, searching, looking, you know, on the pursuit of discovery. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. I'm talking about, that whole chapter, parables of the kingdom, right? Well, he said, well, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that is hid in a field. Well, number one, notice, it's a treasure. That means it's valuable. You know, it's not something that you, treasures are usually not kept in the open. Nobody keeps their treasures in the open where thieves can just randomly see it and steal. They lock them up in a lockbox and safe or hide them somewhere and so on. Well, the kingdom of God is also like treasure. He said, well, it's hidden in a field. You know, it's not out in the open, but when you have found it, well, you can't find it if you are not seeking for it. I don't think you will stumble upon it by chance. Diligently finding it, you know, or diligently seeking for it is what leads to finding it. He said, well, when you found it, well, this man will, again, hide it. Well, Jesus said, do not place your pearls before swine or your jewels before dogs. And these things are valuable. Just throw them casually against people who are going to trash them. Trash the things that you believe. But commit them to faithful men. It's what Paul said. Commit these things to faithful men who also will commit it to others. Don't lay them before people that will trash everything. So this man, he went and for joy, he sells everything that he had and comes and purchases that field. Well, you know, what's the value that you put on finding the treasure that are hidden? Hidden treasures of secret places. What's the value that you put on it? Well, yeah, everybody has value that they put on different things. Well, what value do you put on the word of God? You know, in the book of Psalm 119, verse 162, let's look at the value that this man places on the word of God. This man being David, of course. What did the word of God mean to him? Well, check it out. In Psalm 119 and verse 162, he said, I rejoice at your word as someone that found great spoil. You know, I mean, it's like treasure. You know, treasure. My goodness. You know, I mean, it's, that's what they rejoice on. This man has found some great treasure. Rejoice. He said, well, that's how the word of God is to him. Okay, well, so what is the word of God to you? What measure of effort will you give to learning the things of the kingdom and the treasures that are hid in the mind of the Holy Spirit? Well, can you pull it out? Okay, it's the glory of God again to conceal a thing, but as kings, we must search out the matter. You know, and God invites us to do exactly that. Jeremiah 33 and 3, like I said. Now, the way of the kingdom, though, the way God does it is here a little, there a little. Line upon line, preset upon preset. We can't get it all at once. You got to keep digging. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10 tells us that. The way that God shows us things of the kingdom, it's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little instruction here, a little instruction there, you know, so that we can keep coming to him. He's not going to give us everything all at once. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Well, I should say also concepts of the kingdom are revealed to us concept after concept. You know, line upon line. A little here, a little there. You know, not all at once, but you got to keep digging, you know, and those who are teaching it or who are responsible for teaching must keep teaching it. Don't be like the scribes and Pharisees that shut it up. They themselves won't learn it and they won't let others learn it. Jesus, you know, indicted those people. He wants us to seek. And there's a blessing that he put on it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, look, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. And I put that blessing on it. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, you will be filled. He said it. And, you know, the kind of feeling that God gives you, you know, is not this, the excitement that comes from wearing a new dress and so forth. You know, you want to wear a new dress? Well, put on the glory of God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about, you know, the things that should excite you is not the skin that you have on now or the clothes that you wear now. He said, but, you know, there's some excitement. What should really excite you? The things, you know, about the something that's coming, the glory of God that coming from heaven upon you. That's what should excite you. For we know that our earthly tabernacle or house of this tabernacle should be dissolved, and will be dissolved, and we have another building, you know, from God, a house that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Wow. Right now, we're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house that is from heaven. We are here, but there's something as a substance that's coming from heaven upon us. It comes from seeking it. So if that soul being clothed, you should not be found naked of the glory of God. Wow. Those of us who are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but we are burdened that we should be clothed upon with a new kind of clothing. Well, when Adam fell, they had the glory of God around them before, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know the glory of God was around them at the beginning. And that's why, you know, they couldn't even know. There was no such thing as nakedness because they were covered by the glory of God. When they sinned and the glory departed, it's called Ichabod. The glory has departed. When the glory departed, then all of a sudden they found themselves naked. But the glory is not there anymore. There's a different kind, and God had to make them skins, you know, to cover them. Well, okay. That's not the covering that God really intended. They were no longer worthy of the glory, which was the real covering. So he covered them with something shabby. Let's put it that way. Now, the glory of God is coming upon the elective seed at the end of the age. We're right there. And it's coming for bring about a transformation, a process, will lead to a transfiguration, escape from darkness into light. Just like that. Enoch, he escaped. He was going, moving towards that light, moving towards that light, getting farther and farther away from the darkness. And, you know, death was becoming more and more, you know, in the distance, away from him. The closer he got to that light, the farther he got away from the darkness. And then one day, when he's infused into that light, he's gone. It's a transition. Just boom, it's gone like that. You know, because all of a sudden he's transfigured to complete light. Well, this glory that's coming, he said, well, it's coming in order that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Powerful stuff in this 2 Corinthians 5. Someday I'll do a series just on that. Now, the one that has wrought this self same thing on us, in us, is the same God who has given us this earnest of his spirit. This, you know, the portion of the Holy Spirit we have now is like a down payment of the fullness of the glory that is yet coming. But you got to persist until the end. A lot of people fall away. And they won't get to it. Now, so, ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is to encourage us to seek the things of the kingdom of God. They will not be handed unto anybody on a golden platter, you know, who is not seeking. You got to seek. When Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 16, I'm bringing this inspiring revelation of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, it comes by revelation, he said. It's tied to the fact that God revealed something. But he said, these keys of heaven will give you the ability to unlock and lock certain things. They are also called ordinances of heaven, as we explained before, if you know how to use them right. In other words, look at some of these ordinances that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 6 that we were just reading. How to not pursue these things. Well, you know, these things, if you pursue the right things, you know the right principles, you know the right key to put in the right lock, you can actually unlock for yourself the blessings of God. Jesus said, all these things will be added to you. You're not seeking them, but you know the right keys to put in the right locks. And then all these things will be added unto you. Praise the Lord. And, you know, whatever you should lose then, you open something, heaven sanctions it. You lock something up, heaven locks it up. One time there was a man, Elijah, the Tishbite. He came upon the scene. He said, well, I'm going to lock heaven up. You know, there shall be no rain these years except by my word. He just locked up the heaven. I put it in a pocket, walked away. So that's it. You know, until I say so. Praise the Lord. Yeah, of course, he already stood before the Lord. The Lord already told him exact words to say. He knew that. You know, but God honored it. He said it, but stood right behind it, just like that. You know, so, but it comes from us. Elijah said, you know, the Lord before whom I stand. Well, he spent a lot of time, you know, in seeking the Lord. Jesus did the same. And many of his disciples wouldn't do it. They were busy eating all the time. And Jesus was even defending them. But when it came down to it, they couldn't do the things that they should do. And Jesus said, well, you know, all that time you were eating and stuff. Well, some of this stuff, you can't do it except by prayer and fasting. You know, and they were ashamed and they couldn't do it. Now, why couldn't we do it? Well, you know, so we got to spend time in seeking the things of God. Well, let me summarize it to us this way. When you have understanding that comes through the knowledge and revelation that God gives, well, and that can only come when we spend time seeking. It is like you now understand the ordinances of heaven, or the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And you know how to use those ordinances to gain dominion upon the earth. You know which of my means, which means to get an advantage. And you have understanding, so key, gives you an advantage. Listen to this in Job chapter 38, verse 33. And, you know, he says, God was asking Job this question. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? So, now, by God asking Job these questions, we know that they are actually ordinances of heaven. But he's asking Job, do you know it? Do you understand them? You know, and Job put his hand in his mouth. He couldn't say anything. Well, can you set the dominion of these ordinances that are in heaven upon the earth? Can you set their dominion in the earth? Now, this tells us that the ordinances of heaven control things upon the earth. That's right. You understand the ordinances? You can actually gain an advantage. Praise the Lord. You can gain an advantage. Understanding comes in many ways. The Word of God, I say it every single day, I preach here. The entrance of your Word brings life and gives understanding. Psalm 119, you know, verse 130. I mean, to get that understanding, though, you have got to spend time digesting the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And, you know, also know that we're not talking about carnal education here. Because Jesus said, well, he said, man didn't teach you that, you know, to Peter. He said, my Father revealed it to you. So it's not, you know, we're not talking about carnal instructions here. We're talking about seeking God, you know, for knowledge that the Holy Spirit brings. Hallelujah. And when you have that, it actually give you an advantage. You can get advantage upon the earth. That's what God was asking Job. If you understand how the ordinances of heaven works, the principles of heaven, well, you can give you an advantage upon the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, what value do you place on understanding? Well, Solomon said, well, you know, with all that getting, get understanding. Well, what value do you place on it? There's a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and verse 32. About one tribe among the tribe of the children of Israel, that tribe was called Issachar. His sons were told that they were, you know, people that had understanding. Look, they had understanding of the times. They knew certain principles. They understood concepts and they knew what Israel ought to do. And, you know, this gave them an advantage. They actually become heads over the people. And they, all their brethren were at their commandment. This understanding gave them an advantage. An advantage. And you have understanding, and you have insight. Well, understanding and insight and the spirit of deep counsel gave Joseph an understanding, I mean, an advantage. It got promoted because of, you know, that knowledge and that wisdom and the spirit of counsel that was in him. After he gave that counsel to Pharaoh, he got promoted, you know, or the principles walking inside Joseph, bringing him to a place of great height. He wasn't trying to be great. He was just using those principles. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I'm going to leave it there. The rest is for you to do digging and searching on your own. But remember, it has pleased the Father, Matthew 11:25, to hide these things from those who think they are wise and prudent, but to reveal them to those who humbly present themselves as babes before him. Say, look, Lord, teach me. I want to know. And he will teach you. Praise God. The things that are hidden, so to speak, are actually meant to be shown and revealed to us. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, this book of Revelation that people don't, you know, like to read or say that we can't understand or because they think it's difficult or whatever. Well, the intent of it is not to hide anything. The intent of it is actually, you know, to show to his servants. That's the very first sentence in the book of Revelation. Say the revelation of Jesus Christ. First of all, it's not the revelation of John. That's the, you know, Bible writers, I mean, those who compile it say the book of Revelation of John. No, it's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus Christ to show unto his servants, not to hide from his servants, to show unto his servants the thing which must come to pass. So it is God's intention to show us these things. But at first, he hides them, so that we must search diligently for them. And the people who search can be rewarded. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord gives us understanding. You know, the things that we need to search for, how things function in the kingdom of God. We need to search about that. You know, what are the things that God would have in his kingdom for the citizens of the kingdom? We need to search about that. You know, what are the benefits of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Well, we need to search for that. Every kingdom has benefits for its citizens. Well, what are our benefits? I mean, there are many scriptures that deal with that. I will reserve that, reserve a whole lesson for that. Because if we started getting to that right now, we will not end. But today was about challenging us, you know, to discover more and more through searching. Remember, the searching must be rewarded by God. It's not just, you know, the fact that we were searching that means that we will find, but if we do it diligently, we will find. Jesus said, they that seek will find. Here, one of the benefits of that kingdom, you know, concerning sickness, because there's a lot of things, you know, the sickness, you know, every so often we have somebody sick, this is happening and so on. You know, here is the position of the kingdom of God concerning sickness. The book of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24, he says, the inhabitants of the kingdom shall not say, I am sick. No. you know, those people are already forgiven their iniquities. They're not going to be, you know, under sin anymore. The Lord said, furthermore, even when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, look, I will not lay upon you these sicknesses that were laid upon the Egyptians. So every time that we are faced with these things, remember Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. The Lord thy God shall take away from thee all sickness, and will not put any of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, you know, put it upon you, but lay them upon your enemies, you know, and so forth. Now, many promises such as that. These are things that we must discover. Find what God is saying about the thing. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, if the Lord so allows it, I may talk about how to unlock the power of these keys, you know, through diligently searching and understanding them and some principles of how they work. Praise God. the Lord. I'm going to pray and yield the mic here. That's it for today's lesson. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children, everyone that's gathered here today, and have listened to the word of God. They have patiently listened. I pray that you reward them. The Lord said, rising early and sending. Well, the Lord rose early, you know, sent me. You rose early, came here to hear. So, you know, righteousness and peace met each other, you know. So now the Lord will reward you for your diligence because you rise up early every day. You come here to listen. Those of you who are on the West Coast, so to speak. And even some of you take time out in the middle of your jobs to listen. Well, you know, God will reward that. And he wants to reward that. He said, I never said at any time that you should search me or seek for me in vain. Well, God doesn't want us to seek him in vain. He will reward you. I pray that the Lord will reward all diligent seekers. Lord, you said it in your word. You have not said that we should seek you in vain, but you promised that you will reward us when we diligently seek the Lord. Now, I pray, Lord, that all those that diligently come out here every day, you know, that the Lord will reward you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Isaiah 45, verse 19, the Lord said, I have not spoken in secret or in dark places. You know, I've spoken to you plainly today. And I have not said to you that you should seek me in vain. The Lord say, I, the Lord, I speak in righteousness and I declare things that are right. And I have declared unto you the things that please my heart today, how that you should seek the Lord and his righteousness, that you may be found, that he may be found of you. And there is a reward, saith the Lord, a great reward to those that hunger and thirst after the things of God. You will be filled, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.